Okay, so I think we're live. Hi all, welcome to episode 19 of the All About FPL podcast. This episode, we are going to basically look at game week 18 that's quickly turning up tomorrow and discuss about how our templated teams performed in game week 17. I think most of us pretty much have at least scored 90 points, bare minimum, I guess, based on the players that we picked. It's just that those who went with Salah had a great week. Those who went with De Bruyne and Nunes, in my case, we had a week to forget. Nevertheless, we have the next game week up very much quickly. So, guys, how did your respective game weeks go?
Good, man. 97 points. I think one of the highest game weeks so far this season. Helped me rank-wise, I think 800k odd rise. I am way below, so obviously, you know, it gets inflated, but pretty good to see 90 plus scores. I had a premium, so I had both Salah and KDB. So even if one flopped, I'm still happy. Rashford surprised me, you know, great return from him. Marcel and Eddie both scored as well. Good week overall. Everyone is happy.
I think Suresh will say the same thing. One, two players might be different.
Yeah, I think pretty much the same. For me as well, it's the best score of the season so far, 93. But relatively not, you know, much of a rank gain. So that kind of, you know, shows you how much engaged players and probably how much templatey we all have been so far. But it kind of works, you know, one week or the other. Sticking with the template works pretty much. So yeah, pretty good game.
Well, I think the most important question so far for this week is basically what to do with Reece James that we'll cover up very shortly. And we're going to try and keep this episode, I'm going on record saying, as short as possible because there's not a lot to talk and we're just going to be basically grinding the same thing again. So we're going to quickly look at Game Week 17, how it went. Obviously, we discussed how our teams performed, but basically results-wise, the first game in this particular week went very well in terms of watching and entertainment-wise. First came back from behind and Tony scored a goal again, and which was a bit of a surprise because people were confused whether he was going to play or not, but he did end up playing. And obviously the remaining all results, Mitrovic, a surprise guest appearance, sort of. We all got fooled by Fulham's boss.
We all got fooled by both Mitrovic as well as Tony. I never expected Tony to start in the first place. He went on to score. And, you know, Mitrovic is a bit of a bummer for me, particularly because I went with Wilson, who didn't even show up, you know. And on the other hand, Mitrovic came out with a 15-pointer. So that kind of hurt a lot. And I'm still, you know, in a dilemma whether to move out of Wilson and get back Mitrovic, you know.
Makes sense.
You know, I'm a bit skeptical just because, you know, my luck with Mitrovic has been so poor this season. The moment I get in, probably he'll pick that fifth yellow card this week and won't be eligible for, you know, one of the double game features.
Yeah, this, I think pretty much we are getting trolled this season more. And then I think it's getting very tough to make those tight calls, right? It goes either ways and it's turning out to be very harsh. More or less at times we've seen this season. Nevertheless, Everton had a harsh result at home. They lost to Wolves. Then Leicester against Newcastle was one. It was pretty much the same old consistent Newcastle performance, whatever we have seen so far. Almiron
I didn't expect a clean sheet from Newcastle. Yeah. But I mean, they are in a different league model.
Yeah, I think Leicester really struggled without Maddison, and at the first half, especially, I think Daka was not getting that much involved with the attack, and they were very much losing the balls in sloppy areas, despite, you know, going to the final third. I think that's what I saw. And Brighton beating Saints. Liverpool Villa was one game where all the Salah owners had a field day. They were pretty much happy with the points. Whereas I had Darwin Nunes and those who had Nunes along with me, I think we felt a lot of pain because despite of showing up better stats, he got 2 points, which is, but it's a gamble that we take.
But that's great game by Villa. I mean, just to add, while obviously they lost, I think this could have very well have been a 5-3 kind of a game. They kept missing a lot of chances, but they're playing really well. I think Aston Villa looks like a team to keep an eye on. That attack is looking really, really nice.
Yes. And the next game, Arsenal continued their charge. Sankalp is very happy. I think that's it. We'll not speak a lot about Arsenal. Chelsea scoring two against Bournemouth. Unfortunately, Reece James got subbed off in the 53rd minute. There was a pain because he got injured, plus he didn't get the clean sheet point. So double blow to all those owners that had
And
him.
again, very similar to Aston Villa. I think Chelsea played really well, right? Much different from the earlier fixtures that we saw prior to World Cup. The team is now gelling.
I was going
The
to touch upon that.
front three looks really nice, right? Very fluid.
No, the outcome of the match, the Reece James thing kind of captured the headlines. But as Sankalp, talked about, the attack looked really good. That was quite surprising. They were not the few games that they were under the transition of Potter, so they looked completely different. They were fluidic, and this kind of the back and the forth kind of setup worked, particularly this time around. And I'm keeping an eye on a couple of the Arsenal attackers, not the Arsenal, the Chelsea attackers. So either Mount or Havertz. So I'll talk about a couple of them in the later part of the show.
Yes, we'll do touch upon that later. And the next game, obviously, United beating Forest 3-0. We don't want to talk a lot about that. And the last game is obviously City beating Leeds, thanks to a Haaland brace and a brace of assists by Grealish. But we got battered by Pep in terms of rotation because neither of Walker, Cancelo, or Foden started. So again, we all got burnt. Those who had him.
Cancelo was a bit surprising. I didn't see that coming actually. Probably Foden was something we are kind of used to. He was there on and off, but then Cancelo's then there was someone who was pointing out that how he was not playing the last two games of Portugal during the World Cup as well. So that's something which probably even I didn't notice much. But good thing he came on, played a few minutes, so he got that minutes under the belt. So probably he's still a good asset to hold on to. There's an upcoming double game week as well. So I've seen many people, talking about or selling Cancelo. I think it's too early to decide on that.
Yeah, if you started with him, I would say continue with him. I decided not to start with him for a similar reason, right? You never know when these players get dropped. And so far, City, I expected City to concede one somehow. Leeds away is not always easy, right? It's tricky. So that has been the case. But if you're starting with a player like that, you continue, unless there's someone really attractive coming up in a similar price. For example, Robertson looked really well, against Aston Villa, right? He gives you a bit more price range, but the fixtures for City are a huge bonus for Cancelo, right? And if they get a double game week, it makes sense to continue with the caliber of player that Cancelo is.
Yes, indeed. So next, let's quickly look at the current transfer trends and the price rises that we have seen so far and what we might see tomorrow. So as of now, it's Ivan Toney, Mitrovic, obviously because of their returns this week, they've gone up in price, followed by Rashford and Almiron. Basically, four players who have gone up solely based on the price bracket they are in and the amount of returns they're giving at this point. So pretty much that we can see, that's the complete rises we have seen so far. And what we will be seeing maybe tomorrow is Cucurella and Martin Odegaard going up. I think Cucurella is because that's a sideways move to James is what we are seeing. And Mitrovic is on for a double rise based on the screenshot that we can see. I think that might be a rare case. I don't see that happening. The rest, all players are pretty much like Salah basically is a sideways move from KDB if people are not convinced. Saka is again the 8 million price bracket. If whoever had a spot open and was maybe Kulusevski to Saka, I don't know whether it's people are pissed with Spurs and doing that, or maybe Foden to Saka. I'm not sure. Havertz is pretty much, I think it's a upgrade from Wilson or Darwin downgrade, is what I feel. And Shaw is basically James' replacement. I think these are pretty much sensible moves that we can see here at this point.
Yeah, Kai Havertz is someone, you know, I'm kind of interested in. You know, the popular transfer, of course, is going to be someone like Wilson to Mitrovic or Darwin to Mitrovic. But then Kai Havertz, from what I've seen, it was I saw him play really well. I've been burnt by Kai Havertz in the past, but this particular game he was playing really well. Overall, Chelsea attack was really good, and that's someone I'm monitoring. I have enough funds to, you know, move from Wilson to Kai Havertz, given that they have a good fixture this week as well as a double next week. So that's something possibly I'm monitoring.
4.3% odd, right? You know, heavy defensive. If it comes to it, you know, it can really help you rank for sure.
Yeah. And in terms of Havertz, we did put him in our list in the last stream, but we laughed upon it. But we did say that it is someone that you need to keep an eye on because you never know what will happen. And even Mason Mount was the pure, I think, ideology behind Mount is that the numbers were not backing. That's the reason why most of the managers did not go with him. And I think probably now with consistent performances, I think again he opens up another option in the 8 million spot. So I think we are going to see a lot of changes here and there based on the doubles for Chelsea, I think. So that's my thoughts for transfer range. Anything based on the transfer routes, guys, what do you see here?
I think it's a bit reactionary when you look at Foden already, right? Because if he's not started one, I would expect him to start the next, right? I don't think he'll miss both. But then he's most due for a price drop. Wilson makes sense given the illness. Zaha, I don't know why people still have him. But I, given the inconsistencies and the great amount of opportunities now that we have in midfield, it makes sense that Zaha is dropping off. Iwobi, I think most of the people sold him off during this wildcard itself. And slowly, slowly, that's getting translated into a price drop now.
Yeah, Wilson is something which needs to be monitored. If you ask me, it was just an illness. We don't know if he's going to be available. I mean, it's kind of looking at the comments, you know, from the manager. It sounds like he might not be available, but there are quick, you know, the succession of games is the turnaround is too quick. So probably it is a wise decision. Or if you have someone like James, I think that's the priority transfer, if you ask me. Rather than Wilson, who could come back or he could take a part of you know, the upcoming game. Again, it's with Leeds, if I'm not wrong. Leeds,
yeah,
or
this week.
This week it's Leeds, right?
Home.
Yes,
Leeds
at home. So it's a good game if at all if he's going to be fit. So probably if you get some news on the presser, which suggests that he's going to be taking part any part in the upcoming game, then it is good to hold.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, I think Newcastle played well. So I think in terms of their performance as a team as a whole, I think you'll likely love to hold Wilson. So that's, I think it's playing safe at this point and maybe getting rid of James is the best move because he's out for a month. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've dwelled on that a lot. So let's quickly go on to the same topic. That's Reece James. What do we do with him and the likely replacements? We did cover it in brief over the last 10 minutes or so, but just putting up on screen. So we know that it's confirmed that he's been sidelined for a month, which was put up by Chelsea yesterday. And these are the replacements, obviously. At least two of the first players are up for a price rise, and that is pretty much what we're seeing. But let us walk through these couple of players that we mentioned and why these players are the ideal choices at this point.
I think Cucurella is a side move, right? People went to James given the fixtures that there is and a possibility of a double game week. Cucurella gives you the same, though he's not as attacking. Even in the last match, he held back while James was attacking, right? It's possible that given that James is now out, the right wing back, someone like Aspi comes in and he stays back and then Cucurella, you know, goes and plays a bit forward. But I really liked Saw. Saw played as a centre back, but very strong performance.
We know that Lisandro Martin is already back in training, right? So Sauce should go back to the left back position. He's looking like the earlier, good days of Shaw, right? Pre-Euro days, right? Fairly attacking. I had him, really loved the points, the bonus points that is there. The fixtures are looking good, at least in the short term. Makes sense, if you are looking to move out. And again, he gives you, I think, around 1 million you save out of this move, right? So strong, strong choice here.
Yeah, and even in the long term, it kind of makes sense. There is a tentative possible of a double game week as well for United. It's just that, game week 20 and 21, you have to make sure you sail through that because of Man City and Arsenal games. But otherwise, either end of the fixtures are really good for United. They aren't facing any top team except for these two, City and Arsenal, until up until game week 25. So yeah.
We see Robertson there, all right. I really liked his attacking performance in the Aston Villa match. I think he's been fairly attacking in the last, even during the pre-World Cup matches, right? The only issue is Liverpool do not look settled at the back. They're still conceding. I think if Aston Villa took the chances, they would have conceded like two more, right? That's the only issue with going with someone like Robertson. And again, you have to put money in the defense where so everyone else is looking to, put money in the middle or in the forward lineup.
And another aspect with Robertson is that they have signed Gakpo, and we don't know what's the kind of impact that it is going to have on Robertson, whether he's going to complement each other on the left flank, and how well his attacking output is going to be, or he's going to supply the balls to him, and how the overlap thing works. Probably that's we have to wait and watch in the next couple of game weeks, and then jump onto that. And it is a bigger budget as well to invest. 6.8 already, we might have the likes of Cancelo, one of the premium defenders, so that's something to keep an eye on. But otherwise, all the 4.5 or the different budget options are really there for taking.
Apart from that, I think we have the Brighton defensive pair like Estupiñán, Dunk. Fairly looking at the possible double game weeks, which might or might not happen, right? We have Ben White, good long-term option. Short-term fixtures are, a bit dicey. Right? We have Botman, and again, Botman is a player that I have in my team. I really like this move because it takes money out of the defense. Newcastle have alternate good matches, is what I've seen, right? So one match, if it's a bit tough away match, who at home they are at least I think the best defensive side currently in Premier League. So if you already have Trippier, do not feel a bit afraid about going on a double up because Newcastle look really really good, really strong at home, and they have a lot of clean sheets already. And Botman is just 4.4 million, so he's a starting centre back, so makes sense.
And I think Ben White is pretty much the standard option in terms of the price bracket. Although I think White's pricing is wrong, we have mentioned. I think White is currently 4.7. I think it's 4.5 on the screen. There's some error from our end.
It's increased already. I also see someone asking for Doherty punt. Any one of you guys looking at Doherty?
No.
I think it'll be. You at the short term, it might look lucrative, but the fixtures immediately turn back, and I don't expect them to keep on the clean sheets. It's really turning bad for them. Palace are capable of scoring a goal, and it's an away game for Spurs. Then after, it's the North London Derby. City, they face City in 20 and 22. So that's the one of them is the double game week, I believe, right? So
This game week, I think they're facing Villa at home. The next one is Palace, right? But in general, that is the issue with if you go for a fullback, but for a team that is not getting clean sheets, the possibility of a strong return is very low, right? I would actually rather take someone who's just giving you those clean sheets, right? You need consistent players who can keep giving you some returns.
even if it's not an attacking nature.
So yeah, I think Doherty is just solely based on you're hoping for some offensive returns. But although Tottenham can defend, they're a defensive side, but it's really tight. I don't think you'll get those points of what you expected Reece James to return. So probably the names mentioned in this list are the ideal moves. And probably the ones that are in bold are the next
that's
possible
what people are
best.
Going.
Yeah,
that's what
we're seeing the trend
going,
say.
Yeah.
So all right, done with this. Let's go to the next one, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, so next is navigating double game weeks. We're just going to have probably a brief overview on what we can expect over the next couple of weeks. And so far, we have only double game week 19 and 23 as the confirmed double game weeks for Fulham, Chelsea, City and Arsenal. They play in those two double game weeks, respectively. The one in 20 is a doubt for City and Spurs. We don't know. It's based on their FA Cup result. Other than that, there are a couple of other fixtures that could be announced over the next few weeks. So,
21.
We keep an eye on it. Yes.
Yeah, game week 21 is looking like it can turn out either ways, right? It will not be a big mega double game week, but there can be n number of teams who can get into a double. So, if you look at Ben Kilden's tweet today, he just confirmed that even United can get a double before Brighton does. All right. So, it's looking a bit dicey, but the expectation is that announcements start coming in from tomorrow, either from tomorrow till the latest till Jan 1st or 2nd week, right? So keep your eye out, right? Don't go, go in heavy on a team that you are expecting will get a double because it's still not confirmed, right? So just have an eye out there. In the middle, we have a graph which we saw a post from All About FPL. On the Arsenal midfield, right? We have Odegaard who's now coming up as a strong option. Again, we're not recommending your transfer now, but in case Arsenal get a double-double, right? We already have a double in 23. In case we get a 21 double, right? And you are looking for that third midfield, third player to go for, Odegaard is coming out as a really strong, differential. You need not go to a Saka level player, right? If you have money of around, say, 6 to 6.5 million, Odegaard returns over the last, I think, 8-9 weeks now has been really strong, really consistent, and it's been better than Saka and Martinelli, both inherent metrics as well as, the points itself. Right? So, someone to keep an eye on.
I think for the third Arsenal spot, it's basically going to be it's Martinelli and Ben White, I think, are going to be locked in most of the teams. But the third spot, I think, for me is basically between Odegaard and Nketiah. Based on your structure. So it depends again based on your price brackets, how much you have in the bank, because you may be priced out of Odegaard by the time in 2 weeks. Let's say he goes to 6.6 and all. So you might have to lose one of your Almirons to upgrade him. And let's see how things play out right in the next few weeks.
Correct. There are people who even sold Martinelli on a wildcard. And if you have sold Martinelli, I think Odegaard comes out as a really, really strong option because the ownership is really low and he's thoroughly involved in the end product as well.
I think, Suresh, do you want to add anything or could we move to game week 18 fixtures?
I think you pretty much covered. Let's move on.
Okay, then it looks like we are very much adamant to finish it on time today. So, these are the game week 18 fixtures which are right up on the screen. And obviously, we have Friday Night Football 2 fixtures playing. West Ham versus Brentford is pretty much going to be... I don't think most of the managers will have players from that fixture other than Ivan Toney. I don't seem to find anybody else having any other player. I think Liverpool-Leicester is where we are going to have a chunk of players playing. Probably, it's going to be just Mo Salah and Darwin Nunes. I don't know how many rage transfers are going to be there for Nunes going out. We'll see you the next day what is going to happen.
It makes sense to wait just this one match out, right? You never know because Leicester have been really poor in defending against set pieces, right? Be it cross, corners, be it free kicks. And Darwin Nunes is good in the air, right? So he might give returns there. But a match that we are really looking forward to.
Yes, and Liverpool play at home. Obviously, that's a straight-up advantage for them. And it's right up in their ballpark. So, Pretty much it's going to be, we can expect a typical Liverpool performance based on how they played. So let's hope the consistency, carries on. Especially for Darwin, as I expect him at least to get me some points there. Because I went without Salah, and obviously it didn't go as per plan, but you never know. The game is very weird. And the next game is Wolves against United. United play away. That's on, I think it's the first game on Saturday. And that's an away game, and we generally don't play that great at Molineux, which are always a tight, scrappy game. But based on our performances so far, I expect us to play much better now.
It's kind of a 1-0, 2-1 kind of game, right?
Yes. Suresh has gone complete silent because he doesn't want to jinx.
No. I don't want to jinx one thing. I was just looking at the fixtures as well. There's not, a standout performance which is screaming, goals or probably the City-Everton game. We could see, a good amount of goals because probably City's last home game of the calendar year. And that could have some goals flurry. And the one other important fixture that I am looking forward to is Newcastle versus Leeds. I don't have Almiron, I can't stop watching this team perform. And the way that he is keep on scoring, that kind of hurts. That's probably these.
Oh, I benched him last week. Yeah, I benched him and Botman last week. But thankfully, I benched him for Martinelli. So Martinelli matched his course. I felt a bit better.
I saw people benching Trippier. So this is far better.
They're playing 5D chess here.
Trippier is like Haaland of defenders, right? He's the only guy who's crossed 100 points now. While everyone else is in the 70-pointer range, right? So Trippier is my Cancelo of this season. And it's a set and forget. I don't care what the fixtures are. Even if it's a tough fixture, he's returned against City as well, right? So just keep him. Don't bench him. He's the last guy that I would want to be benched. I mean, alongside Haaland, of course.
Yes. But
apart from these, is there any other fixture that you guys are looking forward to? Like, let's say the top four battle or the top six battle, that you're expecting?
For me, undoubtedly, the game of this week or this fixed game week is Brighton Arsenal. That's going to be a great game to watch in terms of tactical battle because we know De Zerbi is someone who is very much engrossed his players to play in a particular style, and they're pretty much playing the same way that Brighton have played under Potter. And I think that's going to be a great game to watch. In terms of watching as a fan,
I expect it to be a high scoring game. I expect to be a 2-2, 3-3, 3-2 kind of a game, right? I don't know which way it goes, right? I just hope it goes in a way. But I've seen that Brighton generally dominate Arsenal on the ball when we go away there. And this time also, I expect them to be really strong. I think we are going there much stronger, so we will also dominate on the ball. But it'll be a very tight battle. I expect a lot of goals. So whoever are your attacking players in from this match, right? Be it Eddie, be it Saka, Martinelli, or Trossard, right? Some people still have, Gross, right? So any of the attacking players you have, please play them. The defenders, I think this is a match that I would bench them. For example, I have Ben White, and I'm benching Ben White for this match because I expect both the teams to concede. Consider heavily, perhaps. also, Spurs, Aston Villa. I think there will be a lot of goals there. What do you guys think?
Spurs, right? I can't predict.
Yeah. Exactly. they are the kind of teams, you never know which way they're going to head. They will come out with a scrappy 1-0 win, or they'll let the opponent score a couple of games, pull their pants and come back with a victory of 3-2 and whatever and whatnot. So that you can never predict Spurs with the current run of form that they are in.
I think Aston Villa will dominate the ball for sure. Spurs will not be able to dominate the ball. They'll not keep it, but they'll hit them on counters. And we are, I think Emi is still not back, right? Their goalkeeper still looks a bit okay, right. A bit uncertain. So it's a match where Kane should continue his scoring form. There are a lot of people who went, Kulusevski instead of someone like Rashford or Saka, right? I would say just hold on for one more match. I think this is a match where he'll give you some returns for you to feel good about this decision before you move out, right? I know people who went there instead of Rashford, which is a really strong move and, you know, really backfired, right? But if you have Kulusevski, he's a good player. He should have been given an assist. Generally, we see things like that. FPL gives an assist, but this time they didn't. They just got unlucky, just like KDB, right? He should have got some points out of that match. He did not. You just have to take it in the chin and move on.
I mean, they are so inconsistent, right?
I have Kulusevski.
No. It's see, when I was watching the game against Brentford, more or less they dominated from that side, so that allowed Doherty to make those overlapping runs, and he was doing those skills and what do's and trying to get in the box, cutting in, so that enabled, once Spurs started dominating, we could see some kind of movement from the right flank. So I think Kulusevski is obviously a good choice in terms of the price bracket he's in, but Spurs are so inconsistent, right? That's the problem with them. And you have these unlikely goal scorers for them to kick the game, like Højbjerg and Bentancur, which you've seen. So you don't know who's going to, like, one long shot from Longley might end up, kicking the game for them. And you don't know how things are going for them.
No, the kind of goals that I hate, Rodri's goals from City and Højbjerg's goal from Spurs, the most useless goals from an FPL perspective. Each time when Rodri scores, that's the most useless goal I will see.
I mean, I'm just waiting for Bentancur to come back, right? I think I might even punt on Bentancur as the fifth midfielder, right? Whoever is the holding midfielder for Spurs, those are the guys who are actually ending up scoring, right? So keep an eye on these kind of players. But yeah, I think where Kulu is struggling is because Spurs have so little of the ball, right? First half, they were completely dominated by Brentford. It's only in the second half that Brentford sat back and they allowed Spurs to come back into the game, right? Unless that happens, it becomes very difficult. But against Aston Villa at home, I think there will be a lot of opportunities for transitions. Only thing is, Sun is not looking that good, right? If Sun comes out well, if Sun starts stronger, I think the entire front three looks way different than it is looking now. Because now it's purely a Kane and Kulusevski. Sun in the last match was very, very absent, I thought. Very similar to what we have seen most of this season, apart from some exceptions. So, in case he turns up, I think it will be a really, crack-biting of a match. But if he doesn't, then you never know.
Yes, and the last game is Forest against Chelsea. And I think everybody's hoping for a Chelsea clean sheet, more or less. Those who have Kepa, it's just based on that.
I was just thinking of going there. I am looking for an extra goalkeeper. I have money in the bank. I just kept it. I don't want to jump on Kepa yet because I was not sure of Chelsea defense. Now I feel that they're looking well balanced, right? So I might just go there. Nottingham are not looking that strong, right? Attacking wise.
Who's your other goalkeeper?
Ward and Iverson currently. Okay. But I have enough money in the bank to go for a 4.5 million keeper. From Iverson, of course.
Yeah. Okay. That's the crazy drafting time that we had. That we had to go to the most basic goalkeeper to take the funds out. I think that's because you had to accommodate both Salah and KDP. That's why you were forceful here to do it.
Yeah.
So that's understandable. Let's now quickly answer the next couple of questions. Sorry, I think the. The ticker changed below to outro all of a sudden instead of going to Q&A. 1 second, now it will change.
Yeah.
So let's quickly answer some of the questions here. James replacements. I think we did cover this a bit.
I think, yeah, we extensively covered. If you just go back at the beginning of the video, you should be able to find
Cucurella and Shaw are our prime, choices at least. Very similar to what people are doing.
The we next one is Vincent.
Yeah, I think I'll give a shot. I know the person who is asking the question, so I'll go and give a Havertz as the answer because I want to take him along with me.
I think Havertz is a very good option, as you can look at. Mitrovic is a strong long-term solution for me. If you're taking him, just stick with him. Even if he gets suspended for one match, it doesn't matter. Just continue with him. But if you're looking for some short-term points, I think Havertz is the best option that is looking currently in the similar price range.
Yep. And here's the next question. Could you change back my transfers, put in the bank? What about Castagne and Cancelo if you had to replace? I think Cancelo is a play. Castagne is a bench for this week. That's it. I think then Leicester's fixtures take a
turn. Yeah, hold both. Yeah. Hold both and see what happens.
And yeah. The next follow-up. Salah captain. Ooh. As soon as Salah scores a double-digit haul, people are like, Salah captain. Then before the deadline, they panic. Oh, no, we can't go against Salah. We'll go to Haaland.
I'm looking there.
I have a simple theory. We have come 16 or 17 game weeks this season. And one lesson it is learned, captain Haaland and forget about the rest. It is an unnecessary pain if you have to take that and, go elsewhere and things don't work. Because I've got beaten by that strategy. I've been heavily, taking puns and going differential captains all this season. And it has never worked, not even one single time. Probably it's me. I've made my bad decisions. But given that if you have to, build a team around with good bunch of differentials, Captain Haaland more on, your differential is going to make the cut.
Not you, Suresh. Everybody has made that decision.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah.
I am on the lucky side here. I think the times that I've gone away from Haaland, I have not struggled. I've mostly gone to Kane and he's scored one goal. So it's always been, 1 point, 2 point gain or loss. So not much of a gain or loss for me from Haaland whenever I've gone away. I think this is a good game week to try it out. Both the teams will score. Both the players will score. Fairly similar returns, right? Haaland, we know, will definitely score a goal or two. And Salah needs to score one goal, right? Or might even give one assist, right? The attractiveness of Salah is that, one, Leicester look really weak in the last game week, right? And second, because he's a midfielder, he gets more points, right? Those are the two reasons you go for Salah. It's okay, but like Suresh said, right, it's a risky move because Haaland will have 190% ownership for sure, 190 to 195% ownership, right? If you want to take that risk, go ahead, but know that it's a risk. I'm looking to do that, so that's the reason, these are the thoughts in my mind. I'm just, telling you guys the same thing.
At the end, Sankalp will Captain Haaland, so just don't listen.
No, I'm sticking here. I'm at 2.4 million, right? What do I have to lose? I'll go back to 3 million. How does it matter?
Okay, cool. I think Kulusevski hold. Let's say. Done.
Definitely.
Next one, this who to bench, Martinelli or Almiron? So should I bench Kulu and start?
I would say play all three. Play all three, right?
Yeah, if there is a possibility, play all three.
Bench your third forward, right? Even if you have to play all the five midfielders, that's what I am doing when we go to my team, right? Whoever your third forward is, bench him, but play all these three players. If your other two are, say, someone like Salah and KDB, right? I'm assuming that's the reason you have all this stuff, right? Or even if it's Salah and Rashford, play all the five midfielders, bench your third forward, go into a 3-5-2 move. But this is a week where I think everyone can return really well.
And this is the last question that we have in our chat. The start one of these three.
Okay, that's interesting. I would probably still go with Ben White. Second option would be Andreas.
I would say Che Adams starting.
Who are they playing? Southampton?
Southampton playing Fulham.
Fulham away and Fulham are playing at home. I think that's the reason I think Pereira looks a bit, interesting because they're playing a home match, right? And he does well in at home matches. But if you ask me, I won't go Ben White because I think it will be a high scoring match. and we will concede, right? So he might or might not give you assist. I think the upside is a bit more on the attacking players. I generally go with the home players whenever I have confusion, right? It's easier to go in the home place. But this week, we had most of the people at home losing it, so you never know. But Fulham would be the team at home. I think they are really strong, not easy to defend against. And Southampton are under a new coach, still finding their way out. Logically, I would say go for Pereira.
Yeah, and this is a reply to that where we said start all three of Kulu, Martinelli, and Almiron because he has Nunes, Haaland, and Martial, so he has to bench one midfielder to do that.
Bench Marcel, that's fine.
Yeah, that is because Sankalp is benching Martial, so he's
Bench
quickly
Marcel.
going to go. That is the reason why he's saying that. So
I
everybody needs to be.
I mean, I'll see you in 3 to 4 days, Sankalp. Before I close out, right? Before we go to my team, right, I have only two things that I plan to do this game week. I think I would go from Iverson to Kepa. Right? I'm still 70-30 in that mode, but I'll do that move and play Kepa instead of Ward against Liverpool away, right? And this was my question to Suez, right? If you have to bench a player, right? Would you expect to score more against Wolves, right? I think Wolves is a team that is going to dominate the ball at home, and so United against will be in transitions, right? Do you think it will be fairly similar where Martial scores maybe one goal and everything else goes via Rashford, or do you think Martial can give you a double digit? I'll miss out on a double digit. I'm okay to miss out on a six pointer. I'm willing to take that risk. Do you think it's a double digit?
No, yeah. See, I get the point. Wolves are completely defense-oriented team. We don't that too in an away match. We don't expect much of a goals. The point is completely understandable. I was just trying to pull your legs, but given your scenario particularly, there is no one who could replace Martial in the playing 11. I get the logical reasoning why you could have put Martial on the bench, but for someone who might have a much less potent option on the playing 11, I would always suggest play Martial. See, he was still he is still finding his feet. He's still getting better. Even the goal, it was kind of partial help from the goalkeeper himself. It was supposed to be an easy save. It was raining heavy and kind of slippery and stuff. So, but given the form we are grooving along, I would still play Martial, not particularly your team, but for anyone else.
So for his team, I think he has fairly similar team where he has Martinelli, Almiron, and one more player, right? Where
Kulu.
I think
Kulusevski, Martinelli, Almiron. I'm assuming Salah and Rashford are the other two names, right? So five midfielders again, really strong, and he has Nunez, Haaland, and Martial, right? So who will
I
you
would want
venture, right?
to, I would really want to say Almiron because I don't want him to score.
It's Leeds at home, right? He's a guy in the form, right? It just
I
makes
get
sense
it.
to play.
True.
So, whoever you are benching, he's a guy who will give you points. But I feel Martial is the guy who will give you lesser points, and that's the reason I am recommending. And I'm doing the same thing. It's just not my recommendation. I'm doing the same thing, so we are on the same boat, Aishwarya.
Well, Martial bench. Okay, guys, you enjoy benching Martial. I know there's no other option for you to fit, and
Yeah, I
based on
get
your thinking, it's fine. I mean, I can't say anything more because United play very different this year. If they defend well, then their midfield starts playing well. If their midfield starts playing well, Bruno plays well. If Bruno plays well, Rashford plays. Then everything
I
goes
think
one by one.
defense should improve this game. Martinez is back. The
Yeah.
Martinez Varane combo should be back. The only caveat is the right wing back. So still not confident on Van Bissaka.
No, there I will just straight away object to Suresh because the only thing that Van Bissaka had a flaw in him was not able to attack, but defensive side he's solid, and in such games you have to be defensively very perfect because you're playing away from home and you know, to play solid.
Yeah, the physical aspect comes into play. You know, definitely that helps. You know, but on an overall defensive side, if you want to get attack involved as well, you know, for example, if we have given a Dallard, the level of attacking output that he brings to the overall squad, that also, you know, contributes to how we play and stuff. But yeah, yeah, definitely there should be improvement in Ted's defensive performance this particular game week. All right, let's move on to my team. I have two big issues. Probably one big issue, which is James, and the other one is Wilson. I'm yet to make any transfer. I'm still, you know, leaving it as it is, how it is currently. If it, I'm trying to take a gamble if there is not going to be any price rise up until, you know, if I could survive this one day, you know, tomorrow, then probably I'll just leave it as it is. I'll hope if Wilson plays. If not, Andreas is going to come in and White is going to come in for James. I'll leave the team as it is, and I would like to have two transfers. It is going to be a quick turnaround, so I can, you know, immediately make transfers if required on Saturday or on Sunday. So that's the plan as of now. So probably we'll get more information if in case if there's going to be any double game week announcements and stuff. I'm just hoping, you know, things play out as I expect. But otherwise, no surprises, literally.
And we have got, you know, news from Team Strix, right? You know, they're really, he's the person is really good when it comes to revealing sources. And he said that the first two matches, he'll be able to share the teams before the deadline. So even if you're looking to, you know, if you're in two minds whether to make a move or not, you know, wait for that reveal. You might see something new which affects you and then you can make a move accordingly.
But the problem is the site crashes, and it did happen again last time, because when I was checking it once, I think nearly like 5 to 10 minutes before, it was briefly going down and coming back up. So
15 minutes is the, you know, timeline that you have to put an alarm right 15 minutes before the deadline and just make your move or decide not to.
Anyways, last but not the least is my squad. And I'm going unchanged. I played the same 11 in 17. I'm playing the same in 18 as well. I don't think I need to do anything here at this point. My only worry is I need KDB and Darwin to get me something. That's it. Nothing else to complain. So that pretty much, I think we're done with this episode of the stream or the podcast. I think hopefully we've answered everyone's question. We said half an hour. We've crossed to 47 odd minutes, but at least it's less than an hour. So at least that's the good side to look at. So
I think that's how we do it, right? You put a target of 30 minutes, then we will be able to do it within 1 hour.
So game week 19 also pretty much comes up very quickly. So the games get over on Sunday, and then on Monday again, we have 19 coming up in a very short turnaround. So again, unfortunately, we won't be able to sleep because of such a short time. But then I think we have game week 20. That's, I think, after the FA Cup games. So we have again a break. So we'll see you all before game week 20. And we'll see how game week 18 and 19 together go. And we'll see whether benching Martial and the other decisions worked out.
Yeah, and all the best, guys. All our listeners, a very happy new year. So, you know. Enjoy, take time with your family. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, cheers, guys. Bye.
Cheers, bye.